home to Scary Savannah and Beyond.
Nailed it.
This is going to be episode number, I'm learning how to use faders, also known in the common tongue as 55.
Yeah, this took three takes to just start the episode.
Yeah, I'm starting to use a little bit more of the functionality that I've got here on this thing, and
He likes to push buttons.
Yeah, buttons are great.
And they're all lighted up. It's so pretty.
It's jumping up and down, back and forth, left and right. So, Crystal, how are you and how have you been this week?
I am full of energy. I'm currently working on an iced coffee and a bulletproof coffee at the same time.
Wow.
Which has,
that's a lot of caffeination you got going on there.
I know. That's why I've been able to turn our house into a Christmas wonderland.
You do enjoy the Christmas and or any reason to decorate season after saying for years, I don't want to decorate anymore. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. It's such a hassle. And then I think we should do a video tour of our house and just go maybe get a few things. And maybe we can put that together and throw it onto the video podcast, which, by the way, if you're not watching us on YouTube, make sure to go check out our channel at youtube.com/scarysavannah.
Scary Savannah.
And then you can see the videos that we got going on for every episode, including in each episode, we got a little bit more than we have in the audio in the video ones, right?
Yeah, we have usually have pictures and sometimes videos that go with it.
And such. And sundry.
And sundries.
So how have you been?
It's so confusing because, like, I finally got the house decorated. Not completely. I'm still doing projects, but
of course.
It was so cold last week, and I was like, oh, it's perfect. Now today it's 70, and I have the doors open, so
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
And then I'm sitting down in my office freezing like an old lady.
With a heater.
And then I have to wear socks.
Wearing my socks.
Your socks.
My fuzzy
The barely fit
socks.
My feet. Yeah. But it was nice to have warm ankles.
And I'm upstairs with the fans on and the doors open. So.
You are a little bit more active than I am, though. So
yeah, once I get up and moving around, I get really hot.
In my day job, I'm kind of sedentary.
Yeah. So we've been so busy discussing all things Halloween and Thanksgiving for the past couple months, but I think it's time to come back to Savannah and talk about some more ghosts that you might encounter if you visit our beautiful city.
It's about time we did some more ghosts from Savannah, I believe.
It's been a while. If you're tired of Thanksgiving leftovers, there are so many restaurants you can try downtown, but be aware of your surroundings. You may not be dining alone.
You're right. There's going to be 20 to 30 other people in there at any given... Oh, you're talking about ghosts.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you find yourself in Chippewa Square looking for the Forrest Gump bench, which isn't there anymore...
We did discuss that in our exclusive Patreon episodes.
And you work up an appetite, wander over to nearby 245 Bull Street and grab some lunch or dinner at Sixpence Pub. You won't be able to miss it. The facade is unmistakably British, complete with a vintage red telephone booth out front that makes the perfect photo op for your Instagram or TikTok posts.
I know, because we are so well versed in the world of the TikTok and the Instagram.
Well, we are not, but we do know what a telephone booth is, and kids may not. So why don't you explain it to the younger audience?
What a telephone booth is?
Yeah, they may have never seen one.
Back in the dark ages, before the light shone upon the world, people used to have to use telephones that had cords on them, and they stretched only so far. You didn't have these pocket phones
that we
have such.
Not only was it on a cord, it was inside.
It was in a box.
In a box.
And this is not a box like we used to have in America, where it was like a half booth. Mm-hmm. You know, it started off with full booths. Then they went to these little half booths that had like half the thing, and it was a little bit of privacy, and you'd get on your phone because you didn't have your pocket phone that you'd carry
around. That's how I used to call you at lunchtime when we were in school and you'd graduated and I was still in school.
I was so cool.
I was cool. I would go use the phone every day at lunch and call you.
I've got to go call my boyfriend. He's in prison.
That's what I told him.
Yeah, he's a real tough boy. He is. So you would find these phones here, and they'd be out on the street, and you could make telephone calls from the phone on the street.
And you had to put actual money in them.
And you couldn't call long distance.
You couldn't?
I think you'd have to pay extra.
Oh, well, I was going to say,
if you had enough money, they'll let you do anything. That's right.
Roaming charges.
Thank you to Big Phone for making this possible.
Yeah. So, like I said, the name of the pub is Sixpence Pub. Do you know what a sixpence is?
I'm going to imagine that it's some sort of form of gambling marker that someone would use when they're, you know, wagering away their life savings?
No.
Oh.
It's a denomination of sterling coinage worth 1/40th of 1 pound.
Or one half shilling?
Yeah. Or 1/2 of 1 shilling.
1/2 of 1 shilling?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like very much money at all.
It sounds almost like it's an insignificant amount of money.
Like, why even bother? If you walk by a sixpence on the ground, would you even pick it up?
Do you pick up pennies?
No.
Do you pick up nickels? What about dimes?
Yeah, I would pick up a penny.
What about a quarter?
I'll definitely pick up a quarter.
If you found that gold bullion treasure that these commercials talk about, where they say your gold could be worth lots of money, and we're like that comedian we heard said, honey, our pirate treasure we've been storing up is worth a lot of money. We got to sell it.
I don't think gold has anything to do with sixpences. They're silver.
It would take a lot of sixpences to buy some gold.
Well, they were first minted in 1551 and circulated until 1980. So that was a long time.
1980?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that was just 2 years after I was born.
It was 4 days before I was born.
Yes.
Or 4 days after.
Like to bring up how you were
four
born
days after
in the
I was 70s.
Born.
For 4 days.
You weren't in the 70s. You didn't have the full experience of the 70s like I did.
Like you did as a one-year-old?
I was a worldly one-year-old, and I took in everything the 70s had to offer, which included the Bee Gees, and Elvis had died before I was born. So that's basically the extent of the 70s. Yeah, that's I got it there.
So like I said, the coin was made of silver from its introduction in 1551, but then in 1947, they made it from cupronickel.
Yeah, I know what that is.
What is it?
That's a metal that they use sometimes in a valve industry is cupronickel.
Oh,
I didn't know that's how you spelled it, though.
Nice. During the Victorian era, it became tradition to mix a threepence or a sixpence into the ingredients when preparing a Christmas pudding, as the coin was believed to grant good luck.
Did you eat the coin?
Wait, that's what I was wondering. They call it Stir Up Sunday, which is the day.
Sounds like a U2 album.
This is the last Sunday before the start of Advent. And the coin would be placed into your mixture of ingredients.
Okay, sounds very unsanitary.
And stirred by every member of the family.
I'm assuming with their fingers.
Oh, of course. When it came to eating the pudding on Christmas Day, whoever found the sixpence in their slice would receive good luck in the year to come.
I was thinking you were going to say that they would receive diphtheria.
No.
Or like, scurvy or
when
something.
When I think of pudding, I think of like a runny...
Like Jell-O pudding pops, except the pudding version.
You know
of
what
it.
Pudding is?
Yeah, it's in them little cups.
Well, how do you
and
slice
they got
pudding?
It in brown, and they got it in white, and there's a yellow one, too, that I think's banana.
But we don't slice pudding.
If you put it in the refrigerator for a long time, it might get like a little film on top.
I guess they may have a different version of pudding. I'd like to look up what their Christmas pudding is.
Well, they do have bangers and mash, so how do they use forks and knives to cut up pudding?
And
pudding is clearly a liquid.
Well, they may have a different version of pudding is all I can figure. I should have looked up what their Christmas pudding
You didn't come
is.
Prepared.
I did not do an exhaustive
you
search.
You didn't look into pudding
of Christmas
and the
pudding.
Diseases associated with eating a sixpence
Is this the same thing
piece?
As that song, like, bring us some sticky pudding? Is this a different?
I think you're connecting the dots.
I think it is.
You're seeing behind the curtain.
Yeah.
You're finding out the schemes of big pudding.
So, but what happens if you accidentally eat the sixpence?
You get diphtheria.
Do you still have good luck? Well, back to Sixpence Pub. It has been the favorite gathering spot of locals and tourists alike for over 40 years. It was originally called Wally's Sixpence when it was established by a couple named Wally and Doris, who made their way across the pond from London, England, to make Savannah their home. The pub didn't have a kitchen at the time, so Doris would prepare lunch at home, and Wally would serve it to the pub patrons until they ran out each day. This continued until 1999 when it was purchased by, quote, two guys who had too much time on their hands, according to their website.
Okay.
They left the pub and decided to expand the drink menu with even more beers, ciders, wines, and liquors, some imported from the UK, as well as adding a food menu that included American and British fare.
Well, it's easy to put stuff on your menu when it's not available to purchase.
It is. If you've always wanted to try bangers and mash, here's your chance.
What is bangers and mash?
It's sausage and mashed potatoes.
They have a cool way of saying stuff over in across the pond,
See,
as you
I looked
might
this
say.
Stuff up because I knew you were going to ask.
You didn't look up what kind of diseases you could get from sixpences in your pudding.
I did not. Also on the menu are Scotch eggs and shepherd's pie. A Scotch egg is a boiled egg wrapped in sausage meat, covered in bread crumbs, and then baked or deep fried. I read that originally Scotch eggs were served covered in fish paste. So I think the bread crumbs and sausage is a better option.
I don't know. Have you ever had fish paste?
I will never have fish paste.
Why are you going to be so judgmental?
Fish paste?
Fish paste might be the greatest thing you've never tried.
Yeah, I really doubt
like
that.
Like biting into a sliced tomato. It's a life-changing experience, and you just wall yourself up against all these things for some reason.
No fish paste for me.
I'd eat it.
Would you?
I would try it.
Sixpence Pub boasts the title of the most authentic British pub in Georgia. It's also famous for being featured in the 1995 movie Something to Talk About, starring Julia Roberts and Dennis Quaid, your doppelganger. Some people say.
Yeah, not anybody of consequence, however. The people that say this kind of stuff are like at bingo. It's like we go to play bingo and they're the older crowd that we hang with playing bingo. They all say I look like somebody, and there's a variety of different people. Ed Helms. People say I have quite a resemblance to him somehow. I even got told that in a drive-through food line one time.
A drive-through food line?
A drive-through food line. At a restaurant.
Food line.
Yes,
I thought you said food
line. A drive-through
line
at a fast food restaurant.
I thought you had like a inside scoop on how you can drive through and pick up your groceries at Food Lion.
I might be onto something here.
Even though there are no Food Lions around here.
Are they even still in business?
Yeah.
Oh.
Actually, Kirsten went there tonight because I saw a charge on her credit card.
Oh, I'm sure she bought necessities.
Yeah, there's one near them, apparently, but not near us.
Well, they said I looked like Ed Helms at the drive-thru line. She actually thought I was Ed Helms.
Oh, really? You should have given her your autograph.
I said, I'm Ed Helms, and then sign it Robert Picardo or something and give it to her. And
no one would know who that is but us.
Uh-huh. Okay. Bob Hoskins.
Okay.
And you think people wouldn't know who Robert Picardo is, but they're going to know who Bob Hoskins is.
No, I don't think they know who either of
Name
those two
Name two movies that Bob Hoskins has been
in. I just said that no one would know either of them.
I want you to name two movies that Bob Hoskins has been
who
in.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
That's the easy one.
And Super
one.
Mario Brothers.
Exactly. What See? Is the third movie he's been in?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Anyway, Dennis Quaid in
I
this
am
movie.
Dennis Quaid. I am young Dennis Quaid. I have the hair.
Yeah. In this movie, Dennis Quaid's character is spotted by his wife, played by Julia Roberts, inside the pub with another woman. She confronts him outside in her nightgown, so the scene in the movie shows the facade and is clearly recognizable. They didn't do anything to change it, so you can see it in the movie.
We saw the facade. We were there.
And I saw the movie years ago, but I didn't know anything about a connection to Savannah and or care at the time. But now it's pretty cool.
I had no idea this movie existed.
I only know because my mom was watching it and I just happened to see parts of it. I don't think I watched the whole movie.
But to be fair, the only Quaid I knew of was Randy Quaid. So Dennis Quaid came later in life, and I'm thankful that people compare me to him instead of his brother.
Yeah, he's much better looking than his brother.
If they compare me to Randy Quaid, no offense to him, I think I might feel kind of bad about myself.
Well, besides amazing food, photo ops, and movie creds, the Sixpence is also famous for its resident ghosts. Most often, the encounters are reported by staff members. Pots and pans fly off countertops, glasses will fly off shelves, beer taps turn themselves on and off, suggesting these may be alcoholic ghosts pouring in their own drinks.
Well, we've already established that every ghost in Savannah is from a party. Or was shot at a party.
Yeah. Light bulbs sometimes burst into tiny shards. They're probably just doing that for fun.
Yes, just to freak people out.
Yeah. The temperature will randomly drop significantly to where they go check the thermostat.
We didn't experience that, unfortunately. Mm-mm. You were a little warm.
Yeah. No, I was cold.
Or was I a little warm?
No, you were freezing.
We changed places a lot.
You were so cold, you wanted to order coffee. You're like, we're either going to order coffee or we're going to leave. So we left.
We didn't order coffee.
We didn't. A former manager said he saw an office chair turn in a circle, then slide across the floor. This may be why he's a former manager.
Could be a couple reasons there. Maybe it's because he was scared and he left, or it's because senior management saw him talking about this kind of stuff. And I'm like, what you been drinking, Fred? And he's like, well, I sure ain't this number one on tap because we ain't got that.
The origins of who these ghosts are isn't entirely clear. Some people think they are former bar patrons who love the pub so much that they continue their revelry into the afterlife.
That checks out on the Savannah scene.
Others think one of the ghosts is the former owner, Wally, continuing to supervise the comings and goings of his customers.
So I guess that means he did pass away then.
He did. Another explanation could be the pub's proximity to Madison Square. Madison Square is only 80 yards away and is rumored to be the site of a mass grave. During the Revolutionary War, soldiers who were killed or mortally wounded were buried in a large grave where Madison Square stands now. Yes, it seems that they may have buried some soldiers who weren't completely dead.
That is unfortunate and horrifying at the same time.
If you recall in previous episodes, we talked about sometimes people could appear like they're dead, but they're just
actually in a coma. And due to the medical practices of the time, they could easily be confused with being deceased.
Can you imagine being thrown into
it? I can't imagine that. I can't imagine living during the Revolutionary War.
I know. It's so scary.
I mean, there's no pocket phones. You don't even have those street
phones.
Not
even a phone booth.
No phone booths.
Maybe some of these restless souls wander over to the Sixpence in search of some ale and maybe a scotch egg.
Ha ha. They like fish paste.
Those are on the, is that?
I thought it was a scotch egg.
Oh, yeah, they put it on scotch eggs.
Now you got me excited.
No, I was thinking of the
Shepherd's
Pie. We're
going to go get a scotch egg. We're both going to get it. We're going to put it on the podcast.
And request fish paste.
Extra a side of fish paste to go with the original fish paste that's already on it.
No, they don't serve it that way. I said originally people who made scotch eggs, like the English, did it that way.
Maybe we could bring our own fish paste.
Okay, I'll order some on Amazon. Apparitions most often spotted in Madison Square are described as shadow people. They are seen out of the corner of your eye, and at first you think it may be an animal of some kind, but then you start feeling like you're being followed.
Why are you going to tell me this story?
Well, I didn't tell you last night when
we
were out there.
I'm glad you didn't,
because
we were
at Madison Square.
You hold my arm and stuff to protect me from such.
Some people report the feeling that something is incredibly close to them, but when they look, the entity vanishes.
Did you feel like we were being followed last night at all?
I actually did kind of feel like people were near us
when
they weren't.
Walking through squares. Mm-hmm. Remember, was it Johnson Square we walked through? Mm-hmm. You were asking me what it was.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't say anything, but when we were walking through it, I just felt like there was somebody right behind
us. I did too, and I assumed there was.
And there wasn't.
Oh, wow.
We were alone.
Oh, wow.
Makes sense.
So we decided to go have dinner last night, and it did not disappoint. It has the cozy vibe and was all decked out for the Christmas season.
Which you appreciate.
I did. We talked to our server and asked her what she knew about these rumored hauntings, and we got an audio recording, and we're going to play it now.
What was your name again?
Al.
Al. Okay. Well, nice to meet you. I just wanted to ask if you thought this had any experiences or ghostly experiences.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I mean, every place in Savannah is haunted, and I don't really believe in the presence of bad spirits.
Okay.
I believe in presences, or like spirits more than anything. And this place just has a lot of history, so weird things that have happened. Like, we have, like, when you're washing your hands in the sink that's in the back, it will, like, turn off, like, funk down.
Really?
Might be a thing, but I think maybe it's something. And our bartender has had more experiences than anything. And we have a haunted statue of Winston Churchill.
Really?
So it'll start a shift in one position. Nobody will open the cabinet, and it'll end in another.
Okay.
So,
well, that's interesting.
We've, like, marked it to see somebody, like, really? No.
Watching it on the cameras.
But nothing else in the cabinet. Somebody's like, oh, it's just the vibrations. And I'm like, nothing else in the cabinet. So,
well, that's interesting, for sure. Yeah. So you've never had anything scary either, then?
No.
So you don't feel like...
No, nothing malevolent. I think that's different.
Most of the places we've been around here, it doesn't seem like it's malevolent. You just, like, we've stayed at several places, like Foley House, wasn't it, where you felt like it just kept turning the TV on. Like, should we be there?
TV off. Yeah, that happens here. yeah, this place, I mean, people come to a bar to drink. They're happy, they're merry, they're having a good time. I don't think anybody's has any unfinished business
here. Maybe not here. Some other places, over towards the city itself.
The scariest thing I ever had happened to me in Savannah, the city of Savannah.
Yeah.
So I was driving home one night to my boyfriend's house, and I come in, and I'm, like, shaking. And he's like, what happened? And I said, I saw a horse. And he's like, what do you mean? And I was like, but it was, like, in regalia, and it was, like, it was there, and I looked, and it wasn't. And it was, there was no rider, but I came in, like, vibrating. I was like, I saw something. So that was my one, like,
freaked you out.
Savannah, like.
Totally wasn't an escape horse pulling carts around out here.
I saw it, and it looked like it had, like, the battle, like, power, like, the whole thing. I was like, it shook me.
Well, I'm glad nothing scared you here.
Okay, so we got some really interesting info from her that you can't find online, such as the sink turning on and off by itself.
The Winston Churchill.
Yeah, that was really cool. And you got to go over and look at it.
I didn't just go look at it. I got to take a picture of it.
Oh, you're going
to
post it now.
And I talked to the hostess, and the picture should be up now. But I talked to the hostess because when you walk into the door to the Sixpence Pub, right in front of you is the hostess booth, and right beside the hostess booth is a glass display case that has things like cups and figurines and things of that nature. And after our server told us about the Winston Churchill figure, I wanted to see it. So I went and I talked to the lady that was standing there and asked her where it was, and she said, oh, he's right here. And I said, has he ever moved on you before? Have you ever seen him move? And she's like, oh, yeah, he moves and all the time. And I've been here for like 4 months, and he was facing towards us when I came here. And now, and he's facing the corner, as you saw in the picture. Mm-hmm. He's like looking straight at the corner. And I was like, and you stand beside that through your whole shift. You're a brave person. I've got to go now. There's shadow people chasing me.
Yeah, so I thought it was really interesting. I'm glad we got to go out there and talk to them.
Even though it was your second choice for dinner.
But don't let these ghosts scare you away. Sixpence Pub is worth a visit. I actually had the pot roast, and it was surprisingly good. I haven't had pot roast in years, probably, but I wasn't expecting much. But it was great.
It was very tender and very flavorful.
Yeah, and it was really good.
And I wanted the beef Guinness, and they were out of it. So the shepherd's pie, which is what I was talking about when we went in. So it wasn't a disappointment. And it was delicious, too. So the food was really good. You can't go wrong eating here.
Yeah, it was not our first choice because we were going to go to the other place that we're talking about tonight. But
it's not our first choice in the sense that it's less of a choice. It's just we had decided that
we were just going to go to the Sixpence Pub. Yeah. We parked near this second location.
We had to walk around shadow people to get to the Sixpence.
We did. We were going to go to the other place because it had a bigger menu.
Yeah.
And we have eaten there before. We've eaten at both of them, but I knew that I liked that place. So we were going to go there first and then just stop in the Sixpence and talk to people. But when we got to the other place, we'll tell you why we couldn't eat there. But anyway, back to the Sixpence Pub. I actually found they have a second location in Blowing Rock, North Carolina, which we've been to so many times because it was near the school where Kylie graduated.
And it's a beautiful city.
It's a beautiful city.
Love Blowing Rock.
Yeah, we would go every fall.
Home there.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't.
Actually, I'm not as opposed to that as I used to be.
I'm going to get up and walk out of the studio because you are not the crystal
I was honestly just thinking about that the other day. That
I love the mountains.
I wouldn't want to live exclusively there, but I could live there part-time.
Well, when you finish your trio of novels and we start your YouTube channel that you've been talking about starting with your helpful do-it-all tips.
What is it? What is my idea? You don't even know.
It's where you go and you tell other
people
how they're
people's lives.
Doing
stuff
wrong.
You do everything wrong, let me fix
it. So you live with a prime example of somebody that needs help.
I do.
And that's why I volunteered to produce it for and to also be the bumbling oaf on it, which is not a stretch for my acting.
So I could spend one third of the year here, one third in Vegas, and one third in the mountains.
Blowing Rock.
I could do that.
I can't believe that. I love Bowling Rock. I want to go there.
I do too. Let's go eat at the Sixpence. And we've seen it before, but I didn't really realize that it was the same thing.
We'd never eaten at it, but we've seen it a ton of times, way before we even moved to the Savannah region.
I guess I should have realized that phone booth out front was the same.
Because Bowling Rock was only like an hour and a half away from where we used to live. Mm-hmm. So we were there even before our kids went to college there. We would go to Bowling Rock with my parents once or twice a year.
Yeah, so for our friends in North Carolina, if you want to visit the Sixpence, but I don't think that one's haunted.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for ghosts, it's not scary.
It's just a knockoff.
And I also read that they did have one in Fort Mill, South Carolina, which is also near North Carolina. It's near Carowinds.
It is. Right on the border.
But I don't know if it's still open because on their website, they only show the two locations.
So like that Don Pablo's restaurant that we used to love, that Mexican place. Yeah. And then we finally found one somewhere in that area.
Yeah.
No, it was in Asheville, I think. And I got so excited and we pulled into the parking lot. I'm like, I'm going to get to eat at this place I haven't had in years. And I loved it so much. And it closed abruptly. And then we go in and we realize, no, they're out of business too.
The whole chain's gone. It was just like in Vacation when they get to
Wally World
and it's closed. That's how we felt. We're like,
sorry, folks.
Because we weren't even going to this Don Pablo's. We were going to a restaurant right beside it.
Cracker Barrel.
And we like pulled up and we saw it and you're like, oh,
it's Don Pablo's.
And then we walk over there and it's closed down permanently.
It made me very sad. Now that you brought me down, why don't you tell me more about what's going on here?
I'm so sorry. If British food is not your thing, then stagger down to Bay Street and pop into Tondi's Tavern.
I like the way you say we're switching back to Savannah because I knew we switched back to Savannah because you said stagger.
Yeah, well, that's where you'll be doing.
You
at
don't
this
stagger
point.
In Bowling Rock. That's fancy. But in Savannah, yeah, they're going to be staggering.
Well, I don't think they have open alcohol containers downtown Bowling Rock like they do in Savannah.
Not since I last checked.
No.
So the other location we'd like to talk about is Tondi's Tavern, and it's currently located at 7 Bay Street in a building that dates back to 1853. But the original location was on the corner of Broughton and Whitaker Streets. The original Tondi's Tavern played a role in the American Revolution.
See, I didn't know this. This is education.
Well, when you see the picture of the guy, you'd be like, well, that's revolutionary.
Well, it makes
perfect
sense.
In more than one way. So let's talk a little bit about the namesake of Tondi's, and that would be Peter Tondi. Peter was born in 1723 in England. At the age of 10, he traveled over on the second ship that arrived in Savannah called the James, and I'm assuming it was named after James Oglethorpe, founder of Savannah, Georgia. Peter, along with his brother and father, made the voyage in May of 1733. This was just a year after Oglethorpe came over on the ship named Anne, which we talked about in an earlier episode.
Yeah, we went all into that.
Anne. Peter's father died in July, just a couple months after their arrival in Savannah. This left Peter and his brother orphaned. I'm not sure what happened to his mother. It didn't say why she didn't come over with them, so it's most likely she had died previously since they were orphans. The boys were taken in by a man named Paul Amatus, who was managing the fledgling silk trade. Later, they lived with a local magistrate, Henry Parker. Eventually, they moved in with a minister named George Whitefield. He was looking to fill his newly formed orphanage called Bethesda.
Come here, all you little orphans.
Peter helped with construction at Bethesda and then became an apprentice to James Papett, who was a local carpenter when he was around 16 years old. While under the apprenticeship of Papett, he worked on building the Christ Church.
Which I believe is still there.
I think that is one of the ones that's still standing. Yeah, we've got some old churches
I don't think
here.
It burned like everything else.
Or if it did, it just burned.
It's been rebuilt.
just a little bit. Peter was very talented and became a master carpenter. He, along with a partner, built the second silk filature, a facility for spinning silk off of cocoons.
Yeah, I had to look up what a filature was.
You mean you didn't know offhand?
I figured it was some sort of
factory.
You
mean you don't have a personal source for filatures?
I don't.
Well, we should look into that as soon as we find an arborist and a butcher.
We know an arborist. Do we know a butcher?
We don't, but we probably
could do get one in a roundabout
way. We probably know one. Or, you know, loose definition of the word butcher, maybe. So they built it in 1759 after the first facility burned down in 1758, because what in Savannah hasn't burned down at least six times?
Hopefully Christ Church.
Well, if it was six, apparently it's still standing today. The building also served as city hall, a meeting place for the Masons, a hospital, a school, and a room on the second floor once served as a space for a ball for none other than G.W., and we're talking about George Washington, President of the United States.
Wow.
In May of 1791.
Sounds like a happening place.
It was probably full of partying and revelry and maybe like early on ghosts.
Then you got your school kids down the street, down the hall.
You got your school kids down the hall. It doesn't matter. They party around children. Remember the story at the other place where they're rolling billiard balls down the stairs
because
everybody's partying downstairs?
Kids just while the kids stay upstairs.
You stay in the bedroom, you place your billiard balls. That's what you do. We're going to have a little party downstairs. Sadly, this building burned in 1839. The whole town showed up to watch it burn because that's what you do when a building's on fire.
You're not hanging somebody. You're watching something burn, I guess, back then.
That's how you rolled back in them olden days. He and his partner also built a two-story courthouse on Wright Square.
I'm not sure if that's still there.
I bet there's...
We were in Wright Square last night.
I bet there's a building there, though.
Yeah, there's a building, but I don't know if it's that same courthouse.
Well, the space is still there in a spiritual way. Mm-hmm. Along with being a fabulous carpenter, Peter was also a culler and inspector of lumber at the Port of Savannah. And I think that a culler is someone who inspects and weeds out the inferior products.
Yeah, because what I found, it's usually associated with being an animal culler.
Oh.
So you
get rid
select
of the bad
best.
Ones and you get the good ones, and that's the ones you butcher.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm assuming.
So I'm assuming he did that with lumber.
Yeah.
Not animals.
He threatened the bad ones and took the good ones.
Took the good lumber to build things that would burn really well. He picked the most flammable lumber.
He won a seat on the Workhouse Commission and served as messenger to the Commons House as well as leader of the Second Masonic Lodge in Georgia. So he was, in effect, a leader among his fellow laborers in Savannah and a patriot. He, along with other like-minded Savannians, would gather at his tavern known as Tondy's Long Room, which I said was located on Broughton and Whitaker, to discuss the growing unrest in the colonies. On August 10th, 1774, despite a ban from the governor on gathering to discuss anything against the British, a group of delegates from every parish in Georgia gathered at Tondy's to discuss the state of affairs. The Boston Tea Party had occurred just months before in December of 1773, and they saw how Britain was reacting to Massachusetts. Parliament's response to the Tea Party was to shut down Boston Harbor and to dissolve the elected Massachusetts government. All the colonies were outraged. With the battles at Lexington and Concord, they knew that Britain would easily try the same thing in other colonies, so this meeting really galvanized them in their resolve against the British rule.
And I haven't seen this plaque downtown, have you?
This plaque I have not seen. We should have looked for it, but we didn't know about it, apparently.
I didn't know about it until today.
Now we got to go back out and eat at Tondy's and ask to be in.
Well, this is probably not going to be at Tondy's. It's going to be at the corner of Broughton and Whitaker because that's where the tavern was at the time.
Okay, we'll go there and then we'll go ask to be introduced into Tondy's Long Room.
Yes, I would like to see that long room.
That burned down forever ago. On January 18th, 1775, a provincial congress gathered at Tondy's Long Room for a feast to celebrate the king's birthday, who you may recall from a previous episode was King George III.
Did you remember that?
No. They erected a liberty pole and raised toasts to freedom, firing a cannon after each toast, which is something that should probably just be happening to this day. Afterwards, the group of around 40 Sons of Liberty went parading down the streets with guns and bayonets. Sounds like a typical Friday night in the South.
It does. I just imagine this. Like, it seems like the celebrating the king's birthday is probably like a mockery thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they're just really making fun. We're not celebrating his birthday. Yeah. He's probably got no clothes on.
What?
Like the emperor's new clothes. Yeah, we're all supporting baby. Yeah. We're all on your side. It's rumored that the first public reading of the Declaration of Independence occurred right outside Tondi's long room.
Why don't you read what's in the bold text?
I'm not going to read last this time stuff you write on scripts.
Don't mess with my scripts.
Well, I'll tell our viewers what it says. On July 4th, 1775, a second provincial Congress gathered at Tondi's long room, and over the next couple weeks, they created what would be the first government for the state of Georgia.
That's pretty cool.
It
happened right here.
Right here. Right on downtown.
I think we walked by there. We were on Broughton last night.
We was probably being pursued by shadow folks at that very moment.
They force you to walk all around Broughton because they've got construction everywhere and you have to zigzag to get anywhere.
I know. It's practically impassable at places.
I don't know if it's because of those bones they found recently that's slowing them down even more or
no,
if it's just...
I'm sure that has nothing to do with it.
It's just taking forever.
Topics of discussion were trade restrictions with the British, seizing of British arms, and persecuting Tories.
Sounds like a fun time.
Ah, it's a ball of liveliness and revelry. Sadly, Peter Tondi died in October of 1775, never seeing the victory of the American Revolution, but his wife Lucy continued in his stead, using Tondi's long room as a gathering place for the Sons of Liberty until the British occupation of Savannah in 1778. After the war ended in 1782, meetings of the Georgia government resumed at Tondi's.
That's really cool.
That is very interesting.
I never knew that. And we did an episode about the American Revolution, but I didn't find this out until today.
There's so much history, and we're just not aware of it. And here we go. In 1796, the first of Savannah's many devastating fires burned the Tondi lot and building to the ground. The current location of Tondi's is on Bay Street in a building that was once used by the Central Railway and Banking Company. The top floor of the building was the office of Joseph Bryan, who was the largest slave broker in Savannah in the 1850s.
I think I saw last night when we were there, it's a tattoo shop
now. It is a tattoo shop now because I saw it and I was thinking about telling you, hey, we ought to go get us another tattoo. But then I remembered if we get another tattoo, we're going to have my buddy do it.
Yeah, we got a guy.
We got a guy. He does good work. You ever in Savannah area, want to get a tattoo, hit us up. We'll tell you who to go to. Some claim that slaves were held in the basement of the building until they were auctioned off. This building is next to the slave pens in Bay Lane. I think we have some pictures.
Yeah, I read about what a lot of these enslaved people went through, and it's just unimaginable to think of. I found a really good article, and we're going to link it in the show notes if you want to learn more about Joseph Bryan and slavery in Savannah. There's actual newspaper articles, clippings for the auctions and things. And people went there and described how it went down, what actually happens during a slave auction.
Yeah.
It's just
horrific.
It is.
How can another person treat another person that way?
I know. We just can't understand it being so far removed from it at this point. But yeah, it's worth reading. So we're going to link that in the show notes.
Yeah, it's important to remember your history.
So these horrors that occurred could well be a source of the hauntings you find downtown, including at Tondi's.
Yeah, it's not just that we have a bunch of dead people buried around here. It's the way that a lot of them died that would lead, if there is such a thing as hauntings,
and not just that they died, but their life was so hard and it left an imprint possibly.
Beyond just dying.
Yeah.
Because of it.
Yeah.
During the Civil War, when Sherman occupied Savannah, this building served as a headquarters for General John Greary of the Union Army. He was the commander of the city after the surrender.
See, I didn't know that either. Like, that building that we were at last night was where their army headquarters was.
That's just madness.
Isn't that crazy?
So much history.
I know.
We history so hard.
This building is just steeped in history, and you can really feel it as soon as you walk in. I just love this building. Like, the front door, like the big, huge doors with the wood everywhere. It's so cool.
The big ceilings.
Yeah. And it's like, you can walk in and you really do feel a presence in there. Like,
you can feel the
history.
It just
feels like something's there.
Not even just talking about, like, feeling
not
a
scary ghost or anything. Just
history.
Yeah. It feels palpable. Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
I was wanting to use that word today, and you gave me the opportunity to do it. I want to thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Professional ghost hunters frequent Tondi's Tavern with their equipment, trying to make a connection to the spirit world. Tondi's employees report malfunctions of the thermostat, with temperatures suddenly dropping for no reason. This sounds familiar.
Yeah.
This happens a lot
in Savannah.
It seems to.
That's two in a row.
I wonder if ghosts just like to mess with people by, like, hitting that thermostat. Be like, oh, are you feeling nice and toasty? Let's see how 55 suits you.
Yeah, and then they, like, go grab a cell phone while you're trying to figure out the thermostat.
Let me get your pocket phone.
Yeah, I got to call somebody. And then, like,
I'm gonna start
maybe it's because they lived before air conditioning, and they're just fascinated how you can, like, turn the air down really fast.
They also apparently live before true crime documentaries, and they're very fascinated with those, too, since they just wanted to keep turning it on.
Oh, they like to watch Forensic Files.
How is that magic box showing me these things?
Yeah, I thought that would be weird.
They often hear disembodied voices and that overall feeling of being watched. One resident ghost is named Catherine. Nightly Spirits is a local tour company, and they conducted an investigation at Tondi's. The following is their account of what they experienced with Catherine. We were sitting there near the end of the night with our EMF equipment still on. We began to see some temperature fluctuations without any noticeable change in the temperature of the room. While we were noticing the temperature changes, we began to pick up some voices through the white noises we had been listening. At first, we had a very difficult time hearing if it was just noises or if there was a familiar pattern. We eventually were able to get more clear sounds when we began to ask questions to the voice and could now make out more clearly the responses. We were able to determine that the ghost communicating with us was either named Catherine or looking for Catherine. We asked several probing questions to try and determine the origin of the voice, as well as when she was from and what she was seeking. Catherine was a slave that came to Georgia, and with Tondi's near the slave trade, we think she passed through Tondi's Tavern at some point in the 1800s.
Well, see, I wonder how they drew that conclusion. Did she give them all that?
It, like, probably sounded like... And that's where they got all that entire thing from.
Because, like, I've never heard of a ghost, like, giving you that much info.
And I also had O blood type. And I like peach cobbler.
Everybody likes peaches in Georgia.
I hate peaches.
I love peaches.
No, you don't.
I love
I've never
them.
Seen you order a peach anything.
No, I don't like peach desserts. I like an actual peach.
I've never seen you eat a peach.
Well, you don't pay attention, because I have.
I've never seen you eat a tomato.
I have not eaten a tomato. Mm.
In 2014, a fire broke out in a planter box outside the window of Tondi's Tavern. Cameras inside the building watched the fire grow over several hours. How did no one look at this?
You saw in the video there's cars driving by, and they don't do anything.
Well, you know, there's a fire.
Yeah, no one did anything.
And it's right on the big main street of Savannah, right there beside the river. Is actually just off to the right.
Yeah.
You're heading towards the bridge, and it's not easy to miss this place. It's not tucked back anywhere. It's right there
on
the road.
Main street.
Two employees were downstairs sleeping when one of them said she was awoken by an unknown source, and she and her coworker were able to get out of the building. The camera seemed to capture a number of orb-like objects flying by the camera as the fire burned. Were these spirits in distress or simply dust particles? You can be the judge. Here is a video of the fire from YouTube. If you aren't watching us on our YouTube channel, you can find the link to this video in our show notes. Check it out and let us know what you think.
So what do you think it was?
I think it was
bugs.
I don't know that it was bugs, but it definitely is not the kind of video I look at, like the way I saw the kid drop out of the tree and say, there's definitely something more to that. I'm like, anytime I see an orb video, it just seems like that would be one of the easiest things to explain.
Well, there were so many of them in such a short time. And she did say,
what time of year was this? You know how many bugs we have in Savannah and sand gnats and whatever. I mean, it could have been any number of things. Maybe it was spirits. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Do you think that something woke her up, though? Or do you think that she just randomly woke up? She said something woke her up.
Possibly. I'm not discounting the potential that these were spirits. I'm just saying that out of all the paranormal proof that people post, the easiest one to explain away are orbs, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Well, whatever's going on at Tondi's, the spirits don't seem to be malevolent. So if you're in Savannah, stop into Tondi's and have a meal, or maybe just a drink, depending on when you visit.
If they are at volume.
Yeah, we went there last night, and it was only about 6:30, and they weren't serving food, which is why we decided to go to Sixpence.
Yes.
Yeah, so what did the sign say on the door?
The hours. It's one of those boards with the hours, and it says open from 2, and you write in the times with chalk. It changes. And some days it would say from this time till 10 p.m., and then on given days it says from this time to volume. So I'm assuming volume is a nondescript measure unit of time that can happen at any given time.
Yeah, so don't go during volume time or you won't get
avoid volume.
I'm glad we did go to Sixpence. It was good.
Delicious.
We have eaten at Tondi's in the past, though, and it was also good. So make sure you check out both these locations if you get the chance.
Well, that's going to bring us to that faithful part of the show where you say words about things that are about to happen.
Insert graphic here.
Man, you're getting good at this.
What we're watching.
So this week, we're going to wrap up our little series on the Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities, and that's going to contain episodes 7 and 8. And these episodes were known as The Viewing and The Murmuring. So The Viewing basically is set with the coolest aesthetic I've ever seen on a TV show or a movie. Mm-hmm. I like everything about the way it's filmed. I like the set pieces. I like the whole feel of it, I like the music that they're playing. It's an episode basically focusing on a man who has brought in...
He's a collector.
...a group of people who are the premier people in various fields of study, such as they've got like a rocket scientist, they got a famous musician, there's a famous novelist, and then I think he's a designer maybe or something. One of these, they've all come in because this is a very exclusive place. They've been invited specifically by this man to come in, and they don't know why they're there, but they know that they're there for a reason. So they show up and they sit down on this amazing couch in this room with, it's just amazing. And they begin to talk about various things while consuming massive quantities of ever stronger drugs as it goes on.
And it's like whatever they like or want is there, like the guy.
Already knew.
Yeah, so one of the guys liked a specific brand of rare cigarettes.
Yes.
And they just happened to be sitting in front of him.
They just happened to be there. They brought out this elaborate display of a bottle of whiskey, I think it was, or it might have been tequila. It's a bottle of alcohol, and he talks about the story of how it's really old, and it survived a whole bunch of things to get here, and then he just cracks it open, and everybody drinks it. But he's making these people drink. Like, one of the people doesn't want to drink. Mm-hmm. This other guy says he's quitting cigarettes, so it's like, in a way, it's like
he's forcing
them to do things. Because he's basically going to pull this invitation out from under them if they don't do it. Mm-hmm. And so he talks them into it. And you get the feeling that as a collector, he's not so much into collecting things. Or maybe he was, and now he's moving more towards wanting to collect people. But that's not really what this episode's about. But that's what you think it's going to be about. And there's a twist after they finish up with their drugs where they're brought into another situation. And then something happens, And I'm not going to say because then it sort of gives away the whole point of the episode.
Yeah, we don't want to ruin it.
But that was that episode. And then the last episode of this show, I don't know if it's the last episode of the show because I'm not sure if it's an ongoing show or if this is just like a bunch of limited events. It covers a couple who are...
Ornithologists.
They study birds. And it seems to be set in the 50s or 60s. I can't remember exactly. And they end up going to, they get a grant or something that lets them go to a remote island where a lot of these birds are very interested in, live in, and they go there to document these birds. And they stay in this house that this couple lets them stay in. And it's a haunted looking mansion is what it is. And while they're in there, sure enough, the lady starts hearing things.
And seeing things.
And she has a strained relationship already with her husband, and it just devolves from there. And then you find out what it is she's been hearing and how it relates to her personal loss in her life and how she deals with the ramifications of being forced to confront something in her past that she's not tried to deal with. How did you like these two episodes? Please tell me, give me your rating on our arbitrarily chosen scale of 1 to 12 dog treats, how you felt about each of these.
Episode 7, The Viewing, I would give it an 8 out of 12.
Ooh.
I liked watching the episode up until almost the end.
If you were judging it solely on what it looked like, what would you rate it?
Then I'd give it an 11.
Yeah.
And, like, the building of the story was great. Like, I'm like, oh, this is going to be good.
Which, in a way, is bad because
it
builds it so much.
Yeah, the ending was very anticlimactic for me. Like, there was no... I was even confused to where you were looking up to see if we missed something. Because
it's one of those kind of shows where you got to go, you know, pull out your phone as soon as you're done and be like, okay, what did all this mean?
Yeah, it did not have a good payoff for me. I was really unimpressed with the ending, but I did like the aesthetics and the music and the everything else about it.
So 8 for the overall
episode, story.
And 11 for the look.
Yeah. And the story itself until the end. If they could change the ending, then yeah, I would give it an 11.
Okay. So how do you feel about episode 8?
8, I would give maybe a 6. I did not enjoy this one. I couldn't think of anything more boring than studying birds after watching this. It was like, all they do is sit there and you have to be super quiet and super still and video birds and write down a million notes about birds. And then
we all know birds don't exist.
Exactly.
So
they're not even real.
What's the point?
And they're not even real. And this story had a little bit of a good, you know, build up, but it really didn't have a good payoff. I don't even remember how it ended. It was like, what? That's the end?
Yep.
Like, there was nothing. Like, it was, I didn't buy it.
Okay.
I wouldn't watch that one. I wouldn't recommend it.
So
don't recommend episode 8.
So your rating is a 6.
A 6.
Okay.
I think that's the lowest I've given most anything
that I can recall.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy that one.
So my review on these episodes, episode number 7, The Viewing, I'm going to give this one an 11.
Oh, wow.
And
Despite the ending.
And the way it ends, this feels like they took a episode that was about an hour long and it really should have been either its own miniseries or should have been a full-blown movie because something happens at the end and you're watching it happen and then you're like, okay, what is about to happen? And then the credits roll. And it doesn't feel like it's a bad ending. It just doesn't feel like this should be the ending. It feels like this is just the start of something and we should see more.
This is one of the few cases where I would say it could have been longer.
This could have been
usually
its own
movie.
I think if they split this
length,
story up, they could have made a whole season out of this. This would have been better to have that be American Horror Story rather than what this year's American Horror Story was, in my opinion.
Yeah, because you could have like gone into each person's background and what brought them there.
His history was.
Yeah, it could have been so
it's
much
very cryptic
more
about his history.
Yeah.
But I did love the aesthetic. I love the way it was shot on camera. I love the music. I love the colors.
It was everything you loved and remembered about the 70s, isn't it?
Yeah, for those many years that I spent living in the 70s.
All the drugs.
It was very nostalgic, you know. the people snorting cocaine off knife blades. You know, it was something I remembered from being, you know, a year and a half old. Mm. I've never tried cocaine before and I never will. But I just imagine that's how everyone
you
did it at the time.
Just look back on it fondly.
Just look back on it fondly. So that one's going to be a good 11 for me. And the murmuring, I'm going to give this one, good grief, I don't even want to give this one a rating, but I'm going to give it a 5. The story itself's not really a bad story. And the fact that these people are bird watchers is sort of irrelevant because it doesn't really deal with what's going on in the story. I mean, in a way it does.
I mean, it does a little bit, but it doesn't have enough of a tie-in that I think it makes any difference. It could have been this. It could have painters.
If this
it could have been
episode
artists.
Was half as long as it was, it probably would have been better. There was a lot of them trying to build up what was happening between the man and the woman, and then how this relates to the things happening in the house. And then when you get the final payoff, it's sort of a happy ending. And as far as a horror kind of story, happy ending can be. And I was like, oh, good for her. She gets a happy ending. But I didn't really care because I didn't care about her character.
Yeah.
And it's not maybe even that it was written poorly. It's just not my taste.
Yeah. I just didn't enjoy it.
I'm sure somebody else probably could watch it and be like, that's their favorite episode of the whole series.
I doubt it.
Somebody with a different taste, I guess. But
someone whose favorite show is not It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
There was not nearly.
Which is me.
Yeah, there's not nearly enough violence in this one.
No. I don't like violence for the sake of violence.
Yes, you do.
I find violence very comedic when it's done in a comedic way.
Well, if the birds
I don't laugh at slasher movies.
No, but if the birds had just attacked somebody, it would have been better.
That would have been amazing. It would have at least made sense.
Yeah.
So that's how we feel about that. So that brings us to the portion of our show where we like to
Layla and coffee and Oscar talk.
Okay.
You left it out. It's written on the page.
Is Oscar still living?
He is.
What do we know about Oscar?
He's back.
You mean fat old Oscar showed back up?
Yeah, we were worried because we hadn't seen him in like a week, but he showed up the other night and the girls lost their minds.
They love him so much.
Oh, yeah.
And by love him, I mean they wish he were gone.
They just start barking
he's
and trembling.
Their cat food.
Yeah, they're like, that's my cat food. I think he may have showed up tonight, too, because I heard him go crazy once, but it could have been someone in a parking lot. We don't know.
He's gotten a little braver. He started to realize that they can't come
they can't
outside
get through the glass door,
even though they'll kick the glass door and they'll bark at it and they'll growl and they'll like bow up and he'll just be like,
yeah.
And just be eating the food.
He's like, I'm half blind. I can't see you anyway.
And he has gotten fatter.
Yeah.
So he's growing.
He's a little chunk.
Unless it's a she. I don't know how you can tell by looking at a possum, but we already named him Oscar.
Yeah.
So for the sake of our, you know, podcast, it's an Oscar is what it is. So that's great. How are the dogs feeling about all the Christmas decorations?
And they love them. And Coffee is being a very good girl. I have stuff everywhere, and I have this little stuffed gnome that your mom got me last year, and I don't know if Vegas, the vacuum cleaner, moved it, because he likes to rearrange furniture when he's vacuuming, but she found it, and she came running in there with it and brought it to us to see if she could have it.
Yeah, like she wasn't attacking it, because
usually
you give her a stuffed animal, the first thing she does is she slashes her head around
and
attacks it.
Destroying it immediately, but she brought me my gnome. And was a good girl and didn't destroy it. So
she wanted to destroy it so bad. It would have made her so happy.
And I felt bad because I went to Goodwill today and I forgot to get them a stuffed animal.
Yeah. You came home with a ton of decorations, but yet you didn't
think about
your dog.
I know. I think I got distracted.
Your poor dogs who live for that moment.
I know. But they just make such a mess with all the fluff. And then I have to clean it up. And I don't think I wanted to do that today.
They know that. They can sense that.
I know. They're not happy with me.
I can't blame them. You didn't bring me a toy either.
Yeah, I brought you something, didn't I? Did I bring you anything? Oh, yeah,
no.
I did.
Yeah, yeah, you brought me some supplies.
Yeah, I did.
Good girl you are, thinking about others before yourself, just not the dogs.
Yeah, I was.
So if you want to find us online, you can do so at scarysavannahandbeyond.com. You can find us on all social media platforms, looking for the username at scarysavannah. Please go check us out on YouTube if you're not already there. We have videos for almost all of our episodes. It's youtube.com/scarysavannah. It'll pop right up. If you would please go leave us a 5-star review and rating. on your podcast player of choice. Those reviews help us a lot in being able to be more visible. And also, we just love to see people saying things about how you feel about the podcast, as
long
as they're five-star
reviews. Some people say they use it to fall asleep to, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, somebody did say that. And I'm like, I don't know if it's your voice or my voice or the combination of the two that is soothing. I feel like maybe I could put people to sleep, but I think that's more my personality than my voice.
No,
is that
I
could put people
both
to sleep.
Yeah.
So let us know. Go leave us a review. Say we put you to sleep. I'm sure that's going to drive.
It's a very huge compliment.
It's a
Thank
huge
you.
Compliment. It's
well, it is, because I use people's podcasts to go to sleep, and then I listen to them again
while
during
you're
the
sleeping,
day. No, I know.
While you're awake.
Yeah.
While you're in the shower. While you're everywhere you're at, you're listening to podcasts.
Yeah,
it never
in the
stops.
Shower, I have this little case that's on the wall that you can put your phone into so it doesn't get wet, so I can continue.
Do you even use that? You actually do use that?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
So I can continue to listen to my podcast while I'm in the shower. And if I'm not washing my hair that day, I'll just keep my AirPod in so I don't have to get my hair wet. But other than that,
she listens to more podcasts than I think the average person will ever listen to in their entire life. She listens to that many in the course of a week, I believe. She's already far surpassed the amount of podcasts I've ever listened to, and I was listening to podcasts years before she was. So I'm still trying to catch up on. I listen to one podcast. It's literally, well, two podcasts.
We listen hours.
Three podcasts. And on two of the three, I'm not nearly caught up to current day. And I wish that I could be more focused and I could do that, but I can't.
Well, you can't do it while you work, but I can, because my job doesn't require so much
thinking. I couldn't do your job and listen either. I couldn't do your job at all, but that would be even harder with that in my ear.
Well, when I was trying to catch up on podcasts that had like 200 or 300 episodes, I would listen to them at 1.5 speed. And so I would fly through it.
1.5 speed. Are you listening to us at faster than normal speed? If you are, let us know. I'd be interested to know if people are listening to chipmunk version of us. Because I remember one of your favorite podcasts, you used to listen to it at that speed. And then you were going to let me listen to it so I could hear it. And you put it down to the normal speed, because I don't do that.
Yeah.
I always listen at normal speed because it's just weird to me. And she was like, the theme song they had, she's like, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I had never heard it at normal speed. And I'm like, wow, this is not at all what I'm used to. And this is funny. Recently, I was listening to several different podcasts. And the first one I listened to, it sounded like they were drunk. They were just like slurring their, like talking.
Oh, all your podcasts, everyone's, it's like drunk week.
Yeah, like I was listening to it, and I'm like, well, that's kind of weird, but their name of their podcast insinuates that they do drink. So, I mean, it was like, okay, well, maybe they're just drinking, because they do.
Sort of defines like 95%
yeah,
of all true crime podcasts.
Yeah, a lot of podcasts do that as a thing. Like, they drink while they discuss
whatever. We drink
whatever.
Wine and talk about murder.
Yeah. And then I listened to another podcast, and this lady does not drink at all. Like, she's never had a drink or ever. And she also sounded like she was drunk. You know, slurred speech. And I'm like, what is up with these people? And so I was like, well, that's really weird. And then the third one I listened to, it's these two guys. And I'm like, there is no way that all three of these podcasts decided to drink this week. So I got to looking at my phone, and I had slowed it down half a speed. No, like it was like 0.75, not all the way to
not
half.
Not enough to where you could tell.
Yeah, yeah. At half speed, I would have been sure of it. But I was like, I guess I accidentally swiped it with my finger or something when I was doing something.
You're always doing something.
Or sometimes, like if I have it in my pocket, it'll rub up against my leg because the spandex pockets. And it'll change stuff. So I guess that's what happened.
Must be.
And sometimes it'll like randomly like and put thumbs up or something.
Oh, so that's how you're finding new podcasts. You're letting your pockets do it for you.
No, but like when I was watching the church feed one day, I wasn't watching, I was listening, but I had the phone in my pocket. And if it's on Facebook, you can't turn your phone off, you know, like the screen has to stay lit. So it was against my leg and it kept pushing the like button over and over and over. And our pastor can see the live feed when he's when he's on stage, and he saw me liking and liking and liking and liking. He was like, oh, she must really like this sermon.
He's
something.
Also a good friend of ours too. We play board games with him all.
Yeah, he's so. Like, she must really like this. And I'm like, I'm glad that's all it did and didn't just start typing random letters.
Like cat emojis jumping around the screen and stuff.
Yeah, it was funny.
Well, I know this is going to be hard to believe, but we would love for you to help us fund her caffeination habit because she seems so lethargic tonight. I don't think you've ever been this outspoken on this podcast, but it's interesting to hear you full of energy. And I like
I'm ready
that.
To go decorate something.
I like
let's get
that
rid-
news.
Let's get
so
done
help
with this.
Me to help her stay this way and donate to her caffeination coffee fund by buying her a coffee. And you can do that by clicking on the little yellow coffee icon on the bottom left-hand corner of our website or clicking on the tab on our website that allows you to go to our page for the Buy Me a Coffee. And any coffees you could donate go to help us offset the cost of running the podcast and helps
there's
us grow.
There's a lot
grow.
Of costs in running this podcast.
There's a lot of costs, and they just
I have
keep
a
coming.
Coffee habit. He has a camera habit. And
well, you're the one that said that you didn't like our existing cameras.
Because they make me look way fatter than I am.
You're not fat at all.
I appear bigger on YouTube.
Well, hopefully on our next episode, we'll have our new cameras and everything will look different. So it's going to be amazing. But if you can help support that, we'd greatly appreciate it. Also, we have a Patreon. You can go there and view exclusive episodes. We release at least one a week, and that's audio and video. And you can find that at patreon.com/scarysavannah.
Yeah, our latest one is another random trivia thing with you. It was fun.
I did.
You did extremely well.
It was excellent. I think I did better than perfect.
I think you did.
And you don't have to be 100% correct to be perfect.
Nah, you just have to BS your way through the whole thing.
And I've been in sales for so long that I can pretty much BS my way through any situation.
Yeah.
Like the fact that I think I'm a podcaster.
We're content creators.
I fooled people into believing I know how to talk. That's what happened. And also, please go to our website and click on the merch store tab, and you can go find cool things like shirts, hats, aprons, all kinds of cool stuff. And anything you get on there is going to be helping us to move forward financially with podcasts and also get you some cool looking stuff. And if you send us a picture of you wearing it, we'll post it on our Twitter or some other social media feed, whichever one of us is doing it, which would be me, and it will be Twitter. And then you can see that.
Sorry.
Yeah, you need to be more. Well, you keep writing the scripts, I'll do the social media. So that leads us up to the point where I want to hear you say those last few words before we get followed by shadow people into the night.
Do you remember how many words it is?
15.
You got that down, don't you?
Yeah,
I need to count them and make sure it's right because I'm just going on your word.
Join us next time in Savannah where the ghosts and good times live. 14?
No, you skipped a word.
15 words.
You said we're the ghosts and good times. It's
so I was
and
right.
The good times.
You I were, was right.
You were right
I
until you
right
said it wrong.
And wrong.
That's amazing
time.
How you can be so right and
this
wrong
is
at
always,
the same time.
This is why I'm perfectly wrong.
Perfectly imperfect.
That's the name of my next album, Flying Flights of Fancy.
Yeah, be looking for that. He's working on that too.
I am working on a solo album.
One of his Flights of Fancy is his album Flights of Fancy.
Yes, it is. And I actually did come up with
he
that.
You did. Join us next time in Savannah, where the ghosts and the good times live on.
But do you know who don't?
Who?
I'm going to wager that it has something to do with a long room, a fire, and somebody sleeping in sleeping bags in a basement.
And bayonets.
And bayonets.
And some cannon fire.
I tell you what, you grab yourself a jacket, and I want to grab myself the biggest can of fish paste I can find, and let's head down to the tavern and have ourselves a Scottish ale.
All right.
Let's do it.
Let's go.